The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Made it to a Friday, everyone, and good morning. Friday, the 11th morning of June 2021. Good old 710 KNUS. Friday morning, sunny and cooler. Cooler meaning 83 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, sunny and 88 degrees. And Sunday, 90. Maybe a shot at some rain back to work. Monday, maybe a shot at some rain and 92 degrees. It's here. 710 KNUS. Here the man is Tommy. Got the news, and good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Peter. Good morning. If you expect to use I-70 between the Eisenhower Tunnel and Silverthorne, be ready for delays today as crews try to bring the Straight Creek wildfire under control. The fire has burned about 15 acres near the interstate as of yesterday, closing eastbound lanes. The State Patrol warns that closures may take place again today due to firefighting activities. Another fire south of Conifer called the Platte River Fire has burned 30 acres, forcing some evacuations. This news is presented by Indeed.com. Indeed believes less is more. That's why they have powerful tools to help you source, screen, and hire quality people faster. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. A second $1 million winner will be announced today in Colorado's attempt to encourage people to take the COVID-19 vaccine. To be eligible for the drawing, Coloradans need to have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says his state won't sit idly by, that's his words, as the border surges with illegal immigrants, so he plans to set up a border wall, deploy more agents to assist the Border Patrol, and arrest those engaged in trespassing and human smuggling. A bipartisan group of 10 Senate Democrats and Republicans say they've reached a new infrastructure deal costing nearly $1 trillion, limited to mostly traditional infrastructure items, including roads, bridges, and pipes. The plan includes internet connections. It remains to be seen if the Biden White House will accept the plan. The G7 summit kicks off in England today. The leaders of the U.S., Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and Canada are expected to reveal a collective plan to conquer COVID-19 as part of their focus on the global economy. And President Biden is expected to push for a minimum tax rate of at least 15% on multinational companies. Colorado's summer blitz DUI enforcement begins today, running statewide through June 21st. So far in 2021, nearly 70 traffic deaths have involved drivers who are under the influence. That's more than 30% of all traffic deaths. Two big fires continue to burn about 80 miles east of Phoenix. The Telegraph Fire has scorched about 86,000 acres, and the Mescal Fire has burned more than 72,000. A new law in Connecticut will wipe out criminal records of around 300,000 people, though Governor Ned Lamont says the law will not include serious felonies. Stock markets in Europe opened mainly in the green today. Asian markets closed mixed. On Wall Street, S&P and NASDAQ futures are up 0.2%, and Dow futures are up 0.25% in advance of this morning's opening. And, Pete, that's real news.
Friday morning, everyone. June 11, 2021, 83 the high, 88 for Saturday. More in the Tay Anderson story. School board met last night. I guess the headline for this is findings in Tay Anderson investigation to be released by end of summer, DPS board says. That's the headline in the Denver Post. My best guess is DPS already knows. Now, so far, I think everybody knows the Tay Anderson story. Tay Anderson gets elected to the Denver Public School Board and has done nothing but not only just cause problems, but he's just irresponsible. And then these allegations of sexual molestations come forward. He has been, you know, he's a grifter, and that's the best way I can describe him. When the Denver cops were cleaning out that homeless encampment, he does a Ric Flair and pretends like he's hurt and goes down. There's stories about Tay and Target. Tay's a gamer, and he's gamed the system. He's gamed Denver Public Schools. But because of political correctness, and by the way, I've begun to wade into critical race theory, and I don't know how many people, and people talk about critical race theory, but how many people actually sit down and read what they say. So I've been spending the last couple of days doing that. But anyhow, so the news release from six of the seven board members. And what we learned yesterday is that for 2 years, the Denver, and again, the teachers' union bosses knew about the allegations against Tay Anderson, and they still endorsed him. And now this comes down that the announcement, findings in Tay Anderson investigation to be released by end of summer, DPS board says Denver Public Schools has spent $50,000 on this investigation so far. That's taxpayer money. That's 50 G's now on this guy. But so far, that's a, you know, it's a drop in a bucket with him.
Yeah.
Having said those things, my best guess is they already know. They know the truth. Allegations of sexual misconduct have circulated around Anderson since Black Lives Matter 5280 posted an accusation from an anonymous woman who said he sexually assaulted her and she wanted an apology. Other Black Lives Matter statements were published. Young women who worked with Anderson on the board of Never Again Colorado, a youth-led anti-gun organization, how they described themselves, said he had made uncomfortable, though unwanted, sexual advances, unwelcoming touching. He apologized for that, which lets you know, well, why are you apologizing if you didn't do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then later, Mary Catherine Brooks Fleming, who's been on with Jimmy, testified before a state legislative committee that a sexual predator was targeting Denver Public School students. She didn't name Anderson. The school district later confirmed she was talking about him and reported Brooks Fleming's testimony to the Denver cops. Now, you would think in the world that we live in, any other man would be gone.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Kicked, booted, retired, see you later, alligator, when your legs are straighter. Now we find out the Denver Classroom Teachers Association acknowledged that the they knew about this, and they knew about it in 2019. And as we said yesterday, this story isn't just about Tay Anderson. This story is about political correctness. This story is about who runs the schools. And this offers enormous cannon fodder, or at least fodder, for the burgeoning GOP. Now, let's see if the Republican Party is smart. In the past, they haven't been, but now it's under new leadership. And perhaps, and I say that with respect, perhaps they'll look at this and they'll say, this is another way that we can make inroads into Denver voters. So anyhow, that's the top of the shop. Here's something I thought. There are two things I thought were just Meghan Markle, who I just have zero time for. So Meghan Markle has done a book, and she has decided to share her wisdom.
Oh.
And insight into the bonds of forging parenting. And now listen to what she said. She is distributing free copies of her book to nourish the community. Now, I know a little bit about her publisher is doing this. This isn't Meghan Markle. This isn't Meghan Markle out of her pocket. But she's giving 2,000 copies of her book to libraries and schools across the country for no cost.
Oh, boy.
Now, one of the great criticisms on political correctness is they take books out of libraries. They're going to put this in. I thought about this last night. Wait a minute. You're pulling Orwell out. You know, you're pulling out Tom Sawyer.
Right.
But you're going to put in Meghan Markle. My, the move by the former actress is part of her self-declared aim to deliver creative activations. That's a great term.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
To drive systematic cultural change across all communities, one act of compassion at a time.
Oh, boy.
And we call that flowery. I mean, not even that. It was just like, it's verbal diarrhea. The debut was released earlier this week, inspired by a poem she wrote for Prince Harry, first Father's Day, the month after her son Archie was born. We're giving books. There's a book you should take out.
Oh, boy.
But nourishing her thoughts will nourish the community.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. How political correctness works. A high-profile UK newspaper columnist has been fired after she suggested that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle should have named their newborn daughter Georgina Floydina. George Floyd.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
And, I mean, this is the kind of humor that strikes home.
Uh-huh.
You know, the black Irish humor.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunday Sun Telegraph, Julie, I wonder if we can get her on the radio show. She's in Britain. I guess her name is Burchill, was accused of disgusting racism. And this goes back into critical race.
Yeah.
Disgusting racism with her tweet about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex already confront, and I don't think a little bit, that was named for grandma, right? For Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was her nickname, little
yeah,
bit.
Right.
And the middle name of the little girl is Diana for his mother.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a controversial name? And then she writes in this column, you know, she looks like a sardine, you know, you can, she said, what a missed opportunity. They could have named it Georgina Floridina. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Well, the controversial name is her proposed George Floyd name,
oh,
right?
Sure.
Not the
yeah.
fact that Lilibet.
Yeah, she goes on. Yeah. She said, I got to meet this woman. She doubles down, according to the London Economist, saying she called the baby it as a nod to non-binary bullocks.
Mm.
And she says the baby's first words will be "Free Palestine." Now you just can't get better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this woman. This is like funny stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been sacked by the Telegraph. She said it's been lovely for 5 years, and onwards and upwards. She writes. She's got a heart. She's got a soul.
She's probably great in the
newsroom.
Oh, she's
great. Yeah, we got to get her. Yeah. So I love this. She said suggested Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, you have to understand, I mean, humor is gone in America. I mean, political correctness has just destroyed humor.
And apparently in Britain as well.
Do you think Don Rickles could survive today?
Oh, well, yeah, I think he could.
No.
But
where? Where?
It would be an underground kind of...
I don't know. They'd chase him.
Yeah.
There's a question for everybody. 303-696-1971. Could Don Rickles survive today?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They would no more book him on Jimmy Kimmel. He would be on Carson all the time. We were guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And he would be banned from the networks.
Oh, but kill him.
He'd have a good club scene.
No, I don't think he could.
You don't think so?
No. He played Vegas, I read, for 51 years. He sold out Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't bring him back. Does anyone think they'd bring Rickles back to Vegas?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm a huge Don Rickles fan. When he come on Carson, you know, he would just kill it. They played the Bullfighter song, you know, and he'd walk out. And it didn't matter who it was. He'd just go after you. And,
you know, he went after Frank Sinatra.
Went after Sinatra, knelt in front of him.
And Sinatra laughed, and he enjoyed him, you know.
Killed Sinatra. Yeah.
But he was initially afraid, but he thought, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I read books about him.
And Sinatra loved it.
Yeah, he said he did all kinds of crazy stuff, and everybody was fair game.
Yeah,
for Rickles,
I know.
And does anyone think Rickles could exist today, or
he'd be refreshing today?
Oh, but here it is. This woman loses her job, and it's sardonic. It's black humor. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby's first words would be "Free Palestine." No, that's wonderful. And she said, we have to call the baby it to nod to a non-binary Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah.
And she said, what a missed opportunity. They could have called the baby Georgina Floridina. I mean, that's great. Now, we'll get heat for saying it's great, but so what? You know, like, at this end of the stick, who cares?
Yeah.
But I just thought it was wonderful, and now she's lost her job. So, have you read Critical Race Theory? Because I have.
Probably not to the depth that you have, I've looked at it and been accused of it.
Well, I mean, everybody will. There's nobody that gets away on critical race.
Right.
The theory is that racism is part of everyday life, white or non-white. And if you don't intend to be racist, you nevertheless make choices that are racist. And they said the theory, and it does, it advocates discriminating against white people in order to achieve equity. Mm-hmm. And that's the basis. I mean, I've been knocking around this a little bit. I'm no expert. I'm just a reader. So if you discriminate against white people, then you achieve equity for knocking white people down. And the aim is advocate for policies that explicitly take race into account. Now, so it turns into, if your kid's in school and your kid or grandkid is black, automatically they're a victim or they're a victim class. If they are white kids, they automatically are oppressors. And that led us to this article. There's a research article published this month in the Journal of American Psychiatric Association arguing that whiteness itself is a mental condition. Please, I'll read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And leads people to hate and terrorize on the abstract side on having whiteness. Psychoanalyst Donald Moss describes whiteness as a malignant, parasitic-like condition that there is no permanent cure. Whiteness is a condition one acquires and then has, a malignant parasitic condition to which white people have a particular susceptibility. Lines are open.
Yeah, and who says that? Who is saying that?
Psychoanalyst Donald Moss.
Okay.
Go to him. Go to him for some help, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Donham. It's not working out.
You know, I think that the term racism, at least, it's also how you define racism.
Well, yeah,
you know, you may see something.
That's critical race.
Through the eyes of your culture, and that's critical race.
That's critical race.
But that doesn't mean you hate. And racism, at least the way I see racism, is I hate this or I hate that, you know, group.
Well,
and you might have a certain viewpoint through who you are, but that doesn't mean you hate that you oppress.
But, you know, you tie it into the 1619 Project, which is kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah.
The 1619 Project is at best weak, but now it's being a core value in schools. And this is, again, another reason, attention Republican Party. Hello, McFly. You know, you got a shot here. And somebody just said neither Rodney Dangerfield couldn't work either.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know, that's a good one.
Rodney. That is a good one.
We should make a list of who couldn't work today. I mean, you know, I'll show you the guys in the radio business, but neither would Rodney Dangerfield. I don't remember Dangerfield. I mean, he always did that. He didn't get respect. He was self-defacing. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, Rickles.
Oh, yeah. He went after.
You watch him on the old Carson show. When you see him in stand-up in Vegas, he was like, Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett would just turn the air blue. But he went there, he'd be on the Disney shows, you know, being like, hi, I'm Buddy Hackett. You know, but for real, he was Buddy Hackett. But CTR, as they call it, it's critical race theory, and has all these different people have inputted it.
CRT.
Or CRT, what did I say? Yeah. CTR.
CTR.
Yeah. Well, dyslexia strikes again. But the theory leads to, you divide people into oppressed and oppressor groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the good idea is anti-racism, then you must.
And it's defined by your skin color.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting to me is when the guy who murdered Omar Jha, the African fellow who was murdered here in Denver. There's a benchmark for him. But when the guy testified, he said he had on the – and I remember first when I went, read it, and I went, what? He said he had on the wrong uniform. Well, his uniform was his skin color.
Hmm.
And I thought, this bigoted fill-in-the-blank who murders this guy for no good reason because of his skin color. What's this?
Yeah.
It's the flip.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Right.
I do not know. I'm stumped. But again, I look at stuff like this and think this is ammunition for the Republican Party if they care to reach down and pick it up.
As I understand it, the critical race theory began in universities.
Oh, sure.
A couple decades ago.
You can track it back. There's guys that launched it. But,
right.
There was a guy named Bell and a couple of other guys. That guy at Harvard was the original guy, Derek Bell.
Mm-hmm.
He was an attorney who taught at Harvard, and he began to explain the legal system, and then all different people picked up on it, and it's expanded. I wish I knew. Let's see, what do we got? We got 20 apps. We got to take a pause. So folks on the phones, we have a guy listed, comedians who could no longer work, talk show hosts who could no longer work.
Let's just stick with comedians.
Well, I would wonder, we're coming up on the 18th of June, marks the 37 years ago that Alan Berg was murdered. And, he would go out on a limb like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'd go way out on about black and white, and he would do that thing. And I wonder how much he never minded the heat, but how much heat he would take with the show and the act as you would, or the way he presented it, because he was boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Yeah. So let's take everybody's calls after this. 83 will be the high. It's going to be a packed show. 710 KNUS, I'm Peter Boyles. This is The Morning Show. Morning, everybody, on a Friday, the 11th morning of June 2021. Beautiful day, 83, the high, 88 on Saturday. Father Andre's on the show this morning. Mikey Boyle, the restaurant critic, is with us. Rob Nadelson, Alan Samuel. Go to the phones. We're in a conversation. Hey, Ted, you're on the show, man. Good morning. Thanks.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Great Friday. Hey, listen. George Carlin would be one that they – no way would he make it.
Are you sure?
They would throw him under the bus.
Why would Carlin not be able to work?
Well, you look at Carlin. Carlin went after those correct people, and he would have – he'd have a ball with right now with what goes on with cell phones and with this critical race
but,
stuff.
The guys go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There was nothing sacred with Robin with George Carlin.
Yeah, but I don't.
I mean, he could go after everybody.
Yeah, I was a Carlin fan, but two names came up. This is from the internet: Sam Kennison and Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah,
ooh.
Robin Williams would be another one.
You know, again, I don't know. I was a Robin Williams fan. I was thinking but I don't remember Jonathan. I love Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters was one of my favorites.
Oh, he was good.
But I don't remember Jonathan Winters ever crossing a line that you would say,
Well, I don't. Yeah, Robin Williams. I mean, he used to do a lot of making fun of the.
He did gay. He did a lot of gay takeoff.
He did a lot of gay.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, another one would be Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles. Oh, you never see that.
You can't. Why? You know, that's
no
a
way.
Thank you for bringing that up, because when it's on uncut, it'll roll you.
Right. I've got it at home. We watch it just for the heck of it. Another one. We just watched it on television. Was Fried Green Tomatoes, and the N word was thrown around there about would not believe.
Well, see,
and you wouldn't see that stuff.
But one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life, and it was right after I had heart surgery, and the kid said, "Dad, you got to see this movie Friday." And when you get heart surgery, they give you a pillow, and it's a comforting thing. You
I know.
Hold it. You know what it is.
Yeah.
And I started watching Friday. And I had to turn it off because I thought my heart was going to blow out of my body because it was so funny. I mean, Friday's just a killer. And the follow-ups were all good, too. And
those are funny.
And they made a movie called The Janky Promoters. That's a crusher, too. But
Did you ever see the one on YouTube with Don Rickles roasting Reagan?
Oh, I've seen all of them.
Okay. Yeah. Could you imagine Don Rickles trying to do that to Obama?
Hmm. Can you imagine Obama accepting a roast?
Yeah.
I mean, Reagan, think about it. How about Richard? Somebody just sent in Richard Pryor. Could Pryor work today?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a really good movie. It's a movie called Harlem Nights, when they got the gambling joints with Red Fox.
Yep.
I like that film, too. But you're right. I mean, Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor would every other word.
Yeah,
but these are great, great examples of what political correctness has destroyed. You know, when
it's destroyed, like you said, we can't. Well, it's not really. Well, it does in a way. I guess I'm just too damn old. It doesn't matter anymore. But
yeah, but
it's really. You can see it in people. You just go to the grocery store and go out the little bit that we do go out. Something has been destroyed. Someone has pulled the feathers.
Is there a bigger group of unfunny people than the progressive left?
They never laugh.
I don't think so. I mean, I really don't think so. Somebody sent me it's those series of pictures, you know, it's a takeoff on Kim and Joe Biden and Trump, and it's hilarious. And I sent it to somebody who was offended by it. And it's Kim saying, you know, bring back Orange Man with Hot Wife. You know, it's a take. And I rolled with it. I took myself out for lunch on my motorcycle yesterday and, you know, flying the highway and just feeling good about everything. And I stopped and I have these great friends who sent me this, and it's Kim in pictures, you know, and he's talking to Biden. He said, send back Orange Man with Hot Wife. Now,
I love it.
People were offended.
Hey, here's one for
They're offended by it.
Yeah, motorcycles. Yes. I got one too, Harley. I just found a new run for myself anyway. You might have been up on it already. But if you head up towards Genesee and go up Squaw Valley Road.
Squaw Pass, sure. Yeah.
Oh, that is one of the best. Come down into Idaho Springs and then come back that way.
I just launched yesterday. I said, that'll be enough. And 25 southbound, you know, cranking the bike and had stopped and got something to eat and cranked it back, and that was all I needed to do.
I rode up the Estes. Yeah, I'm getting off work here.
Just something to do. No, you're the man. Good call.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Morton Downey Jr. No, I mean, Morton Downey Jr., I wonder if Morton Downey Jr. could do television today. Remember the Morton Downey Jr. show? And they brought him into Denver. After Alan was murdered, they were trying these different characters out. And Morton Downey came. There's a word that follows Morton Downey's name, and it was true. I mean, he's just not it's like Bill O'Reilly, you know, pooey. O'Reilly's out now, apparently traveling with the president, President Trump, and they're doing a two-man history show. Bill O'Reilly's not a good guy. He's not a good man. But he'll work. Let me see. What does this say? As a member of the Freddie Henchy band, these are our guys, a mixed race group, we've had some rough times playing on the outskirts in rural areas since we did not look like the traditional rock country bands at the times. We held in there, and the rest is history. Of course, history with you too. I really think Richard Pryor would have a hard time also getting booked. Richard Belzer, maybe, or Lenny Bruce, forget it. The Freddie Henchy band, Dead Man Walking, man, that was. Oh, we did some. Bill Hicks, Red Fox. Oh, who was better than Red? You mentioned Red Fox. No way could he work today. The Wayans brothers and their TV show In Living Color. I never saw that show. Would that show be allowed today, Billy, In Living Color? Do you think that would work today?
I don't know. There are some characters there that might be a little difficult. And some of the references. I'm not sure if they could do that today same way.
Richard Pryor.
And Pryor would be a tough one. You missed out on something. If you didn't see In Living Color, you missed out on something. That was a special show for what they were doing.
I believe that was a Saturday night show. Well,
in fact, and the weird tangent on that one is the In Living Color is the entire reason we have these Super Bowl halftime spectacular shows. It's because of that TV show. And the reason being that, you know, you jump into the Wayback Machine and the Super Bowl halftime shows used to be very meh. It wasn't anything at all. And so the Wayans brothers realized that So during one of the Super Bowls, I forget which one.
I remember that.
Yeah, they said, tune in for our special Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
And they took like two-thirds of the audience. So the Super Bowl said, you know, we were promising advertisers all these eyeballs they did not get. So, and I think that year, I believe that year, I think the Super Bowl had Up With People as a halftime show.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, no, we're not watching this. So everybody went to In Living Color and came back. The very next year, they came back with Michael Jackson as the halftime performer.
I didn't know
they
that.
They got it. They were like, no.
Well, you remember the year that Vince put a wrestling show on?
Yeah. Yep.
And they had like Jesse the Body or somebody, and they flipped over, and it was, I think Jesse was in on that show, but, or maybe he was calling it. Maybe he was, you know, the ring guy. But yeah, sure. I remember when they flipped him on stuff. Let me read a list of people. The guy said that he didn't think Carlin could work today either.
I think Carlin can work.
John Cleese, you were right. You called that one. How about the television show All in the Family, Archie Bunker?
Ooh, that would be a tough one.
You think Archie could be there today?
Mm.
Everybody's on Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Pryor would be, because Pryor was so raw, but that's also,
it was great.
That's what made him so good, is that he was so, the thing that I see, and now he does it differently, but I see the mantle of Richard Pryor being picked up by Dave Chappelle. I think he's the most honest comic out there. And I could be forgetting a few, but I think he's the one that is as honest as Pryor was in his day right now.
Could they do movies like Friday and Next Friday? And could they do those?
Ooh. Yeah, they probably could. Okay. There's no way they could do Blazing Saddles. They probably could do Friday. Yeah, they probably could.
Blazing Saddles, uncut.
Yeah. There's no way. There's no way you could do Blazing Saddles today.
Best.
How are you going to pull off like a 3-minute fart joke?
You can't.
You can't. There's no way you'd be able to do it.
But in the end, you know, and of course, Cleavon Little dies after that film. But, you know, he's out, and it's Count Basie.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be Pryor. They wanted Pryor.
They wanted Pryor. That's right. Yeah. I think Pryor wrote part of it.
Yeah.
I think Pryor wrote
They wanted him to be the lead. And he said, no, it's not me.
And they bring in Cleavon Little, and, you know, and he said, I'll shoot the, you know, he does that whole routine. And it rolls you. I mean, it's really laugh out loud funny. Let me see. We get a lot of texting here. In Living Color, Handyman, OMG.
Yeah, that's
it could not fly today. Yeah. I couldn't believe it was there.
That's true. Yeah, the handicapped superhero. Yeah, there's no way they.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah, the Handyman. Yeah, and there's no way that would fly today. And there was a caller off the air. I think you mentioned it as well. Sam Kinison and Andrew Dice Clay.
Kinison.
Yeah, Kinison. There's no way Kinison could work today.
You know who?
Dice is still working, but he doesn't have the same edge, and it doesn't sound the same. It doesn't come across.
Can't be
the
Dice Man.
No.
You know who knew Kinison was Faye. Faye had Kinison stories. Really big time Kinison stories.
You know also had really good Kinison stories? Our friend Mudflap.
Oh, Flap knew him too.
Yeah. In fact, Kinison basically is the reason that he became a comic. That Kinison saw him early on and goes, dude, you got something here.
Yeah.
You got to do this. And he looks and goes, when someone like Sam Kinison tells you that you're good, you kind of listen.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was
one of his very first influences. He knew him really well.
Faye knew Kinison. He had all kinds of Kinison stories. All right, 303-696-1971. Who could work today? Who could not work today? I wondered, you know, we're going to mark Allen's assassination day in a week. The 18th of June was when Allen was murdered. And when I was thinking about this thing last night about who could work, who could not work, and I'm thinking Berg's act, but Berg's persona, the shtick that is, he called it on the air, I wonder if he could do talk radio today. Given, you know, we're going to have Lee Larson, have all the, you know, all the really important people around that time. It'd be a good question. Could they work today? Dan Kaplis Law Firm, here's the man. These guys are the best of the best of the best. Thousands of innocent people were killed. And I'm going to say a special good morning to Rick Lewis, too. Ricky's on his way to work. The guys are the best of the best, and Danny's the guy. And thousands of innocent people are killed and injured every year in truck accidents. Dan Kaplis Law, a long successful track record in cases against the trucking industry, won the largest truck and again injury verdict in a truck accident case here in the last 10 years, $25 million. And of course, if you're going through something in the family, somebody's been injured or even caused death, and you need some help, regardless, Dan Kaplis' numerous multimillion dollar out of court settlements for his clients in truck accident cases. Dan Kaplis Law, a serious firm for serious cases, righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. It's a good for all people, all walks of life. I can't tell you what a good man he is. 303-907-5003. If you need help, call Danny, 303-907-5003, 907-5003. Hit DanKaplisLaw.com. Danny's last name, of course, C-A-P-L-I-S. This is a good guy. If you're in a jam, give him a call. Here's one, Billy. Eddie Murphy. Could Eddie Murphy work today? 710 KNUS. It is a Friday morning, everyone, June the 11th, 2021. Friday, 83 the high, sunny. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny and 88 and 90 on Sunday. It is interesting when you're involved in this end of the microphone for so many years. And I've had this theory, you know, talk radio, no man, it's master. Anybody thinks they can master this business should just shut the mic off, get in the car and go home. Having said that, this morning what spurred it was a conversation Tom and I were having. We talked about Tay Anderson's investigation and then talked about the woman being fired, a columnist being fired for, I think, a very hilarious, funny series of things she said when the royal baby was born. And she's a newspaper columnist, or at least was. She's been canned. And her name is Julie, and it's B-U-R-C-H-I-L-L. And they canned her at the Sunday Telegraph for a tweet about the new royal baby. And I think it's hilarious. She said the Henry and Meghan have missed a great opportunity by not naming their newborn daughter Georgina Floridina, like George Floyd. And then she said it was disgusting racism that they did that, or they did not name the baby. They had chosen to name Lilibet Diana, which is about, you know, grandma and his mom. And he said, what a missed opportunity. They could have called the baby, she said it, because of non-binary. And then goes on to say the baby's first words could be Free Palestine. She lost her job over that. So we're talking about comedians and comics and stuff that no longer works because of the PC censors. Hey, Dino, you're on a radio show, man. Hey. Good morning. Hey.
Yeah, I just told, hey, how you doing, Peter? I just told Thorpe, yeah, a couple of people. I think David Brenner and I think Gallagher would have a shot. So they'll do well.
Yeah, Gallagher, yes. Yes, yeah.
I think Brenner didn't even say about dumb things people did or whatever. And there's a famous joke, I'm not going to say there, but Red Fox said about a tomahawk wound.
Oh, yep. Oh yeah. Oh, no, no. Yeah, Red could not work. Red would not work.
No, not. Yeah, right. He had blue helmets. And you mentioned what I was going to mention earlier. Lenny Bruce would have no shot. They wanted to run him out back those days.
Oh, sure.
So there you are.
Actually, Lenny Bruce would have been more acceptable on using the F word and the things that Lenny Bruce said, but they'd get Lenny Bruce for other stuff.
Well, they did. Yeah, they got him. Yeah. They did everything on him. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but
that's
true. But let me bounce a couple off you.
Sure.
These are
yeah,
sent in. This isn't me. You think Gleason? I think Gleason could work today. Could Gleason work
today?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he was clean. If you watch The Honeymooners, it's still you're
right.
Laugh.
Here's one. All right. Could Flip Wilson dress up like Geraldine?
That's a tough one. He did that on, Laugh Channel.
Did it all the time, yeah.
And it'd be tough. It'd be tough. It depends on the actual jokes that came out of his mouth.
All right.
I
think we both agree. Eddie Murphy, you think Eddie?
No, he'd have a tough time. No. Kids don't have a tough time, like you said earlier, and all that stuff. We're real sad. We live in a society. Think about this, Peter. The only actual mistake you ever did in your life, you have to explain to your grandson, is you never punched out Dean Reed when he had a shot at it. That's a true story. Mary Kay Morrow would have helped. That whole thing.
Mary Kay Dobin.
Well, what he said, you should have kicked his teeth. What he said to you about Howard, and that's all you need to know.
The fight was on. It's like looking back on moments of abstract violence in radio. But we were talking the other morning. Who was with us? It was Ricky Crandall or somebody. Now, you know, I had lunch with Dave Logan a week ago Friday, the best lunch best lunch in a while. 2 hours we sat and we talked. And we talked about incidences of random violence in radio. And especially, I'm reading Dave's book right now. And the book is entitled, If These Walls Could Talk. And it's Dave Logan's, it's about Dave and broadcasting and the Broncos. And it's really, really, really good. And we'll
there's a regular caller for him when he first started when Irv gave him the shot.
No, that was Joe. Joe was the caller. Joe was the caller. Dave. Cool. Dave tells in the book, Dan Reeves cut him, and he's in the car and he never listened. He said never listened to talk radio, and he was listening for whatever reason. And Irv and Joe were together, and okay. Joe made the comment of how stupid it was because Reeves had given up like a second round draft choice to the Browns for Dave. And then in the middle of the season, cut Dave, and Irv and Joe were Joe was I don't think Irv was, but Joe was going off on Dan Reeves and how stupid Dan Reeves was, and so as the story goes in the book, and I'm sure it's true, Dave's in the car and Dave's like, damn, that's not bad. And then He was going to go to work for like an insurance company, mutual, like New York Life or something. And he got a phone call from Irv because Irv had, I think, refereed some of his basketball when he was a kid at CU. And he said, come give it a shot. And Dave went into the studio for the first time, and the rest is history. It was Irv, like so many people owe it to Irv, but it was, no, it was Irv.
Well, before we go, before you hit the top, the sickening thing is we have in this country, we have to let that set in. Willie Brown's ex-girlfriend is soon going to get sworn in.
Think about it.
Unbelievable.
Think about it.
Unbelievable.
I love you. We're coming back. Father Andre, Rob Nadelson's on the show. Mike Boyle on a movie I was in. And we made it to a Friday. Dave's book is entitled If These Walls Could Talk. And it's very, very good. And I'm about three quarters through it. And we will... we'll have him on the show. He said he'll do the show, and it'd be great to get Joe with us too. 83 will be the high today, and 88 tomorrow and Sunday. 90, Billy Thorpe, Peter Boyles. Hold on here.